like to be in the crowd when Jesus gave his sermon. The people had come from miles away to see Jesus, as much as 100 miles. And I can see the sparkling water of the Sea of Galilee in the distance. I'm reflecting, as I've come there, everyone has told me that Jesus is an amazing person, a healer full of love and kindness, and now I see him in action, healing people, healing bodies and minds. And then Jesus stands up, and the crowd sits down so that we can all see and hear him. And he starts preaching. And he looks at the people in ragged clothes. He looks at the tenant farmers who break their backs all day raising crops that they then pass on to the owners. And they have barely enough to live on, even though they're the ones doing the hard work. And he says to them, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." And then he looks at the mothers and their hungry children. He looks at those thin faces and those distended bellies. And he says, "Blessed are you who are hungry, for you will be full." And he looks at the widows. And he looks at the broken. And he says, "Blessed are you who are weeping, for you will laugh." And he looks at the people whom everybody rejects. And he says, "Blessed are you who are hated and excluded and mocked." Because that's what they did to the prophets. But I notice that for most of that, he's not looking at me. And then his tone changes. And he says, "Woe to you who are rich, for you have your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh, because you will weep. And woe to you when everybody speaks well of you, because that's what they did to the false prophet." And he's looking right at me. And his words hurt. And I don't feel loved. Where is the loving healer that people told me I was going to see when I came out here? You know, most of the time I don't feel very rich or very privileged. When I look around me, I certainly am, compared to the people that Jesus calls blessed. And if I can get past my initial defensive reaction to these words, I can see that Jesus is not actually cursing me. He's given me a chance to see the world through new eyes. He's given me a chance to become fully part of God's reign. Jesus really is a healer, full of love. But he's not the doctor who sees the person with appendicitis and says, "Here, have some Oxycontin," and then walks away. He's the doctor who says, "This is going to hurt, but that appendix is going to have to come." A real healer doesn't just say some nice words and leave the problem. I think about how experience changes. attitude about mental illness has changed radically since I've raised two children with serious mental illness. I no longer see it as those weird, scary people from whom I just want to keep a distance. I see mental illness as a physical illness. And I have a lot of compassion and actual admiration for the people who live this struggle day to day and who keep going. Keep going day after day. It has radically changed my understanding of who people with mental illness are and what it might mean to mourn. So I think, what would I learn if I became poor and hungry? How would my attitude change? How would my sense of urgency about dealing with poverty change if I had worked a full shift at a restaurant? If I'd been on my feet for hours and then I came home to sleep in my car? As so many restaurant workers here on the coast do. I mean, the owners of Ona and Drift Inn polled their employees and found out that about 80% of them are living in tents and cars, working. So if I actually had that experience, how would I feel about the need to address poverty? How would my sense of urgency about hunger change if I could not feed my children? And whom do I give credit for my comfortable life? Do I think that I did it all by myself? That I just have all this stuff because I'm so good? Or can I recognize that, you know, maybe I got a bit of a head start over a lot of other people? And maybe there are some structures in place that help me to have my comfortable life. What might it look like, really, to enter God's reign? To trust God fully? To obey God's command to love my neighbor as I love myself? That can sound like a pretty easy command on the surface of things. But if I love my neighbor as I love myself, do I walk by a person who is suffering without even looking at them? These are hard words today. These are hard blessings. But even in the woes, there is blessing. Because if we let ourselves enter into that experience, if we let ourselves hunger, by the way, that's one reason why fasting is a spiritual practice. It's so that the full can experience what it's like to be hungry. If we let ourselves enter into some of these experiences of suffering, we may indeed find that we are drawn into God's kingdom. That there, as a matter of fact, there is blessing. Because we learn compassion. Because we learn love. Because we learn what it might be like to be some of the people that we see suffering around us. actually care enough to do something about it. More than just enough to ease our conscience. More than just enough to feel like we're good people. But really to engage, to commit, to love. Jeremiah 17 says, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, not ourselves, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots in the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit." That's Jesus' call to us, to sink our roots deep into the water of life, to sink our roots deep into God, to place our trust there, not in our own strength and our ability, but in God. And knowing that if we truly do that, our well-being doesn't depend on our circumstances. That God's love will sustain us. And that we will become part of a community of love, a community of care. We all care for each other. And when we do that,